No uterus, no opinion. Why are guys even involved in the pro-life movement in the first place? Here's how to respond to challenges and accusations just like that. Stay tuned. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the Pro-Life Guys podcast, a show dedicated to equipping you with the tools that you need to have compassionate and compelling conversations about abortion so that together we can change minds, save lives, and transform our culture. My name is Cam. I am the host of the show. It is a joy to have you along. And this is the Pro-Life Guys podcast. And as you heard off the top, let's talk a little bit more about men in the movement. It is something that I have heard recently a few times. I was out door knocking literally this morning, time of recording, with my friend and colleague in the movement, Blaze. Blaze, you're a champ. And we had a couple people be like, hey, you're two dudes. Why are you door knocking together? Why are you talking about abortion? Why do you care? Why do you feel as though you have an opinion on this issue? And obviously, it's something that comes up fairly frequently for me, being a fella. And I want to dive a little bit into how do we navigate this, not just for the fellows that tune into the program, but for other people potentially as well. And so couple things we don't want to do. We talk often about two mistakes that we as pro-lifers make pretty often in the pro-life movement. I make them. I'm sure that you make them occasionally as well. And the first mistake is to try to resolve. And I find that this is actually particularly problematic here, where so we were talking to this kind of middle-aged woman. She had a teenage daughter, so I put her kind of, I don't know, sometime in her 40s or so, maybe around that mark. And she was basically like, you guys will never become pregnant, and I have no idea why you would ever have an opinion on this. Maybe if it was a couple of ladies at my door, I would actually have a little bit more respect and I would actually have a meaningful conversation. And it made me think way back to my internship, which was like 12 years ago. And I was talking on a street corner with people. This guy came and he ripped one side off me and the other. And he was like, you're a dude, you have no reason to have an opinion on this issue. Like, let the women decide what they want to decide. And I made the mistake of trying to resolve this. And so I got the attention of my fellow intern, Siobhan, and was like, hey, well, do you want to talk to a female on this issue? Because if you don't want to talk to a guy about this issue, if you want to talk to a female, I talked to my friend Siobhan. And I thought that I was doing a great thing. Siobhan was an incredible activist. She still is. But this guy just went over to her and just like screamed at her for like half an hour, 45 minutes about being Caucasian and being privileged and being Christian, and all this kind of stuff, that he wasn't satisfied by the fact that he was now talking to a woman who had a personal vested interest in the topic of abortion. The resolution of you don't want to talk to a man or you don't think that men should have an opinion is very effective from the perspective of the pro-abortion movement, because that eliminates arguably half of society from having an opinion, from being opposed to their worldview. And so it just divides and conquers. It just puts women on their own rather than having the support of the like-minded fellows in their communities, their churches, their pro-life organizations. Don't let yourself fall into that trap, that our world and the women in the pro-life movement ultimately need the courageous voice and support of people like you. If you're a fella, if you're a lady, we need you as well, obviously. This is far from women shouldn't have a voice in the pro-life movement. There are so many incredible women in the pro-life movement. Many of my colleagues are women. The majority of our interns are women. It is kind of funny sometimes to think about how many old white men there are in the pro-life movement. Sure, there's me and there's Jonathan and there's Nick, Alex as well. And then there's a handful of old white men at CCBR. But when we show our staff photos and the overwhelming majority of people working with CCBR are young women, I also don't want to refute the argument by trying to point towards that, right? I don't want to resolve it by suggesting, okay, well, you don't want to talk to me. You don't think that I should have a voice. Okay, I'll be quiet then and I won't have a voice. Therefore, go talk to one of my female colleagues. Or we don't want to try to refute it by saying, okay, well, did you know that there's so many women involved in the pro-life movement? Let me show you a picture of all these lovely women that are involved in the pro-life movement. You're wrong in thinking that this is run by men or whatever kind of thing. The person in charge of this internship, the most highest demand speaker at CCBR, whatever, is a female. I'm not going to refute the idea that there are men who have voices in the pro-life movement either. I'm not going to try to resolve it by silencing the men and empowering the women to have the exclusive voice within the pro-life movement. I'm not going to refute it by arguing about the true demographics and the proportions of men versus women, that kind of thing. So what am I going to do? Kind of go through our trusty set of conversation tactics, being common ground, analogy, and question, and pivoting towards back to the issue of abortion. We talk about how often, for circumstances, it's common ground, analogy, and question, with the goal of getting towards the humanity of preborn children. When it comes to external circumstances, when it comes to other issues, whether talking about who has a voice in the pro-life movement, when it comes to whether or not we should be focusing on abortion or otherwise, what our goal is, rather than getting it towards the humanity of the preborn child, we have to take a step back and get it back to abortion itself. And so I'm going to build common ground. I'm going to say, hey, you know what? I get it. It feels really weird to have a guy, or maybe even a couple of guys, at a doorstep talking about the issue of abortion when neither of us are ever going to become pregnant. Neither of us are ever going to have the opportunity, let alone the difficulty of choosing life or death for a preborn child. I get it. We're not there. I might even slide in the fact that, and I agree that men are a huge part of the problem, contributing towards the abortion crisis in Canada and around the world. I might try to plant that in there to try to get them thinking about how much abortion in many ways benefits men by decreasing in many ways even the accountability that they might have, the responsibility and support that they are obligated to provide for mother and child. And so I'm going to start with the common ground. I agree that it is really weird, and it can be surprising that men feel as though they can have an opinion on this worldview. Imagine parents of a born child were choosing to harm their born children. Do you think that those without children are able to have an opinion regarding child abuse and negative treatment of children? Well, obviously, yeah. The fact that you don't have children doesn't mean that you're not qualified or capable of having a position on child abuse, right? I'm sure that many parents out there, I got a couple of kids of my own. I work with people who have kids, and I work with people who don't have kids. And sometimes it's painfully obvious, the people who don't have kids, based on some of the things they might say in the lunchroom and their theoretical understandings as to how to rear children. But that's neither here nor there. It can be frustrating to have people voicing their opinions on how best to rear children and offering commentary on whether or not kids should be allowed to have this or do that or whatever. There are some areas that I would absolutely say, like, yeah, please stay in your lane. Like, you don't know what it's like to have kids. Like, your opinion on this particular thing is not quite as valuable because you don't have that experience. The notion that children should never be allowed to consume sugar, the notion that children should never have a second of screen time, is something that is a valid conversation. But I can appreciate parents having a hard time accepting advice or suggestion from somebody who doesn't have kids. However, if I were abusing my children, then I absolutely think that my coworkers that don't have children, my friends, my family members that don't have children, would absolutely have an opinion on whether or not you could harm, and let alone kill, a born child. And so, okay, if those who don't have kids can have opinions and worldviews, and even those who are not able to have kids are able to have opinions and worldviews regarding the safety and well-being of born children, then why not for preborn children? If people who don't have kids, people maybe even that are not able to have kids, are able to have opinions and worldviews and take action against the harm of born children, why not preborn children? Well, it's different. Okay, how is it different? Let's talk about abortion. Let's talk about what abortion does to a preborn child. Let's talk about the hard situations that mothers and fathers are going through. Let's talk about the humanity of preborn children. Okay, so again, to summarize that, I agree with you that it can feel really weird to have a guy who will never become pregnant and never either bear a child or choose abortion for that child, having an opinion on abortion. And together with the fact that many men are a huge part of the problem in our world, pushing mothers towards choosing abortion for their children, it seems extra weird that there are men who are trying to, again, have an opinion on this world. You imagine that parents of born children believe that those who didn't have kids should not be allowed to have an opinion or be able to take action against child abuse or even directly and intentionally killing born children. If you can have an opinion, if you can express a worldview, if you can take action in defense of born children, regardless of whether you have or are able to have born children, why not pre-born children? That's the route that I'm going to go, and I have actually found a tremendous amount of success seeing people realize that while I might not have the same dog in the same fight, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice anywhere kind of thing, and injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the fact that we all have an obligation to defend literally the livelihoods and the very lives of humans, regardless of whether we are primary caregivers, whether we are parents, whether we have any ability to be a parent, does not have any bearing on whether or not we can protect the lives of humans in our society. I hope that makes sense. If you have any questions, shoot me an email at email@prolifeguys.com. May God bless you abundantly, wherever you're at, however many hours are left in your day.